the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. You're the host for the Blind Handyman, Don Shaw.
Hey there, Tom Houston.
Oh, good afternoon, Don. Don yeah. Patterson's here with us today, folks.
Yes, sir. I braved all this cold weather, man. I mean, the wintertime is set in for sure.
It is cold, folks. My name's Tom Houston, but here's the creator.
The
and
creator.
Producer. Of the Blind Handyman Show, Phil Parr.
Dum-da-dum. Ought to have some sort of reverb that would go off when you...
Get some, a timpani.
Put the punctuation in the wrong place. The creator, period.
Creator. I tell you today, I go to prepare a place for you.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, hello there. Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show number 20... What, Sean?
Three.
23? Good God. Why would anybody care?
Why do these people just keep judging from
the amount of email we've got.
Email.
But anyway, they keep asking us. To,
yeah, judging from the email.
They keep asking
cares.
Us. I think your list killed our email.
No, you're not
accepting any of that.
No.
Don Shaw's been busy. Not that you haven't been busy, Pat, but got your bracelet on you.
She's got you kind of on supervised parole.
Supervised parole. That's what he says. His girlfriend's got him on supervised parole. She doesn't ever listen, does she?
No.
She'll never hear you say it. Anyway.
No chance, huh?
Not a chance. Anyway, we're all here, and Don Shaw has been very busy creating things this week. And tell us of your adventures.
I've been creating. We decided that as a group, a joint effort here, that we needed a blind handyman email list. So that's kind of what we've gotten together and created here. We just created it. It came on online, in fact, last Friday afternoon.
So let's basically explain. If you join this list, if you agree to join this list, then all the emails posted to this list will end up in your mailbox at your home.
Will end up in everybody's mailbox that's a member of the list at their home. That's right.
That's right.
That's correct.
Okay. That's neat.
And so I guess everybody's familiar with lists, aren't they?
Lots of topics to be discussed and ideas to be exchanged. And, you know, it's a work in progress, but we are going to give the addresses here in a minute. But hopefully here somewhere down the line on the group page of the list, people should be able to go to that page in the future and get like links to different things that we've talked about either on the show or on the list. Like for an example, we put some porch and deck building links up there already. Different links to different things. There hopefully in the future will be like a voice chat room that people can use from time to time. A files area where if anyone has any files, like we've had a file or two on our Tom Has Read Things on woodworking and a thing that Phil wrote about wood splitting one time, just different files we could put up there and just lots of changes to come about in the future.
So if you want to be a part of this little blind handyman list, you can. The address is. It's quite lengthy. So
Houston will read you the email subscribe list.
If you want to subscribe to the list, you just send a blank email.
That's
And you're going to send it to Blind Handyman, all lowercase, all together, /subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
That's right.
That's simple enough.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
And we'll subscribe.
If you want to unsubscribe, I think you do the opposite.
The unsubscribe instructions will be at the bottom, just the opposite.
Isn't that link on that page? You can just click on it and send.
You can get to it, but it's easier just send a blank email from your Outlook Express.
And also, here's the thing. If you want to unsubscribe, you just do the opposite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, uh-huh.
The instructions will be at the bottom.
Maybe no one will want to unsubscribe.
If you just want to visit the group page.
Oh, okay. How do you do that?
Okay, you just go to www.groups.yahoo.com/group/blindhandyman/.
That's right.
And then you just visit. You can't post anything.
Yeah, you can post from there too if you want to. You can post. You can look at the bookmarks we're going to have in the future at the files. There'll be different things to do when we get it set up. Tom and I, it'll be kind of a joint effort here. We'll be working on it here in the future. We'll kind of keep y'all posted.
As soon as we figure it out ourselves.
Yeah,
as soon as we figure out how to do
about it ourselves, we'll get something on the road here.
Okay.
It's a work in progress.
Well, everything. My life is a work in progress. So we have no email today. It's amazing. Of course, Monday night was our first show, and we record on Thursday, so I'm sure that we haven't had time for our email to flood in. to come boring right in.
Well, I guess it's kind of, I guess everybody could get on their knees now. Let's do our begging for email.
Well, we'd like to have email. What was it? We got the letter from the girl that said we don't need to be begging for email. We got plenty of listeners. Well, prove it.
Well, I suggested that maybe if it gets, we're having these hard times, that we start sending our own email.
Or we may have to make up some email.
Just make up some guys.
Make up names and send in them. I don't think Dave being on the show last week had anything to do with us not having email.
Of course, as sure as we did that, you know, Matthew Brody or something, then somebody would want him as a guest.
That's right.
We did so.
You do, the name's been changed to protect the innocent.
That's remember? Right.
Dragnet.
Dragnet.
Boy, that guy.
Yeah, Dragnet. How many of those do you have?
I have OD'd on Dragnet. How many have I got, Chuck?
Oh, God, 400 and something, probably.
I have OD'd on Dragnet. I love that old radio series, Dragnet. It was on,
was
I think, until
series.
63 or 64.
Yeah, I think so. It's hard to believe. But
from back in the 50s, and they're fixing to restart doing it on television, yeah. I think.
They sure are, again.
But it won't have Jack Webb, the great Jack Webb. You know who was on Larry King last night?
Who?
Art Linkletter.
Wow. Oh, boy.
Remember Art Linkletter?
Yeah.
Was he in a wheelchair, I wonder? He's old.
He'll be 91 in June, I think.
My goodness.
Whoa.
But he was just as mentally agile as anybody I've ever, you know, I mean, he knew what was going on.
My goodness.
A lot better than some guys here.
That's really some kind of health. You know, he does everything real healthy.
A lot better than all the guys here.
What a deal.
So he does everything real healthy?
Yeah, I think he's kind of a health nut. I mean,
So there's something to that. Eating right and not smoking him darn cigarettes.
Yeah. It must be something to all that.
I wish I had one right now. I could smoke a Winston from here to the road right now if I had one.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law is listening.
I guess he wants us to tell him how.
Well, what? How you quit? Yeah, they've been on me. I've been smoking a little bit, and they've been on me. Tell me, Donald smoked 5 packs a day, didn't you?
Oh, maybe 4.5.
At least. 4.5 to 5 packs
a day. At least
that
much, huh, Patterson?
Now, see, this is what happens if you don't send us email.
Yeah,
we just sit and BS for 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
That's what we'll do. Tell us, I guess we ought to talk about doing something. You want to tell us about your lock, Mr. Don?
Well, yeah, I can tell you about the lock. Right. Okay.
Up on your mic now. Come on. Be a good boy.
All right, let me put my headphones in. Yeah. All right.
He's learned how to fix his own headphones, which has reduced hostilities here in the room.
Yeah, that's a step in the right direction. I thought for a while I was too old to learn anything. But anyway, for the regular listeners, if they've been keeping up with the progress, I finally put the for sale sign on my house. And so then it dawned on me that if the realtors were going to come and put the lock box on everything, I ought to fix the front door lock because I haven't been able to lock it since I've lived there. In fact, I'm not even sure where the key was. So anyway, I put a new deadbolt lock in. And, of course, if you're taking an old one out and have the existing thing, you don't have to drill any holes or all of that. I mean, it's fairly complicated if you're going to install a new one in a new
it
door.
Sure
you
is.
Have to use a template and drill
a hole cutting saw
and price, you know, and get the drill bit that drills the big round hole. And
it's a pain.
Not damage the door and everything. But anyway, this was just a lock change out. And it's fairly simple. Most of the ones that I know about, I mean, it's just a simple cylindric, I guess you'd use, deadbolt lock. And there's two screws if you're on the inside of the door where you have the little knob or the little handle that you turn to lock and unlock the door if you're inside. That is a key. If you'll turn that in a vertical position, then there are two screws right there that you, when you take them out, the outside, inside and outside covers and that handle will come off.
The whole thing comes off.
The whole thing comes apart.
Yeah.
And then you have two other screws in the door plate itself. That you take, they're into the wooden door, and you unscrew them, and this takes out the locking mechanism, the part that the little shaft goes through that locks and unlocks the door, and so that takes that out. And of course, your new lock comes with everything new. I guess a lot of them. I think mine was probably the same brand that was in it. I could have just put the cylinder in, but I took off everything. I think the door plate, the one that's on the opposite door, the face plate where the lock locks into.
Striker plate.
The old one on because it fit just the same.
Oh, yeah, and it was there.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to bother changing that.
I
can't hear you.
Right here?
Now, there. That's
okay.
Great.
Man, yeah. Well, maybe I've...
excuse me, Mike.
Excuse me. Anyway, and so after you take that off, then, of course, you get the new one out of the package and all that, and it just goes back the same way. There's just really the two screws that, if are four, you put not sure what you call that locking mechanism that where the little blade comes out.
I'm not either. I keep trying to think. I know there's a name for it, but
yeah,
I can't...
I guess the plunger or something. Anyway... And so you put that back into the door and use the wood screws that fasten it securely. And then the inside part of this cylinder thing that comes off with the handle that has the shaft on it. So you put the outside up there first, kind of, and then you have to, the shaft is going to go into a hole and it goes through this locking mechanism. But then the secret is the two screw holes that you took the screws out of, it's very difficult to line that puppy up.
To hold all that together and to line it up is just naturally.
Because there's really no, there's what I did is tried to put the key slot in a vertical position at the bottom of
That's
the lock.
That's what I've always done.
And then if you'll sort of, you can kind of guesstimate... putting the other part on with where the two screw holes in, and they should be like left to right. If you were facing them, they would be
That's
on
right.
a horizontal line,
yes, sir.
Left side and right side. And I guarantee you, vision or no vision, because vision doesn't help. It's just a hit and miss. What I did is took an awl, had a real sharp pointed awl, and I put it through one of the holes and finally captured.
I've done that.
And once you line one up, you got it made.
Yeah, once you got the first one.
It was a 5 minute, five minute long project that turned into 45 minutes.
Well, the screws are up. Yeah. The one thing they do you look at these screws and you think, well, how thick did they think this door was? 4 inches? Well, that's the reason that the screws are so long, so that you've got a way to back that off and look down in there and do that.
Yeah.
And also, I'm right-handed, and this was just a perfect job for a left-handed person. I could not get myself in the proper
The door
position.
Opened to the... I understand.
And to hold... And, of course, with my left hand, I'm almost useless.
Yeah.
But anyway, after you get one hole lined up, you don't want to tighten that screw all the way. You just get it started real good, and then get your other one in there, and you want to kind of tighten them up together. You don't want to go down, full force on one side and then the other.
Just alternate them.
And by leaving the original striker plate in there, I really didn't upset anything. I just had a new lock so I could make a key for the realtors. And so
everything lined up good.
Of course,
to kind of add to that, a doorknob works the same way, just a plain doorknob key lock. What he did is replace a deadbolt, right? This was
That's
a deadbolt
right.
you did.
Uh-huh.
But a doorknob works the same way, except the doorknob is even more difficult because you got two more little shafts on each side that you got to fit through the thing that goes in the door.
Well, regular door opener is more complicated because it has the big handle with the thumb.
With the button.
Yeah,
thumb
I've
button
seen that.
Complicated, they're expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about $100, so I decided I'd leave that to the new homeowner.
Now, we may have talked about this before, but the reason, of course, if you decide that someone has a key to your house that you don't want them to have a key to your house and you want or you can't find the key or you can't do this or that, if you take that thing off and take it to a hardware store, they can either make you a key for it like it is, or if someone's got a key that you don't want to have a key to your house, they can rekey that deadbolt and make you a totally different key to fit the deadbolt. I mean, it will be the old key will no longer work and the new key will work. And the reason you didn't do that is because yours was kind of rusty, you said.
Well, it was rusty and scratched up, and then there again, it would be 6 of 1 because I'd have had to take it off and take it. And if they rekeyed it.
So if you're going to do all that, you might as well just get a new one.
Yeah, because the new one I bought cost $11, you know. So.
Yeah, they're not expensive. But if you wanted to, you could have it rekeyed for $3 or $4.
You could.
You could have some keys made for it. For instance, if you had
more than one matching deadbolt in your house.
Yeah, which is what I do. Mike, what two keys fit everything in my house.
Yeah.
One for the doorknob lock and one for the deadbolt lock. The shop, the studio, the storeroom, the closet, the house,
so
everything.
It'd be worth taking one to get it re-keyed.
Yeah, if you wanted one rekeyed. Yeah. If one, what am I hearing? Some kind of silly noise? Now, but it's a very blind, funny thing to do. In fact, it's one of the first mechanical type things I ever learned to do was change.
In fact, being blind in this case may be an asset.
Could be lining that.
Well, it won't hurt
up,
you lining that stuff up. It's not going to hurt you.
It's just hit and miss.
So lining that stuff up. All right. So you've got new deadbolt at on your house there.
Yes.
And you don't want to use the fireplace because what was the reasoning?
Well, because it'll smoke up the place.
People wouldn't like that old fireplace to know that you used that fireplace, that it actually worked.
Yeah, but it's strange that they use it as a selling point, you know, wood-burning fireplace.
Well, they told me that...
But see, now, this is just the rules, the law, according to St. Emily.
St. Emily, okay. But you got your bracelet on, and you're in good standing, good shape.
I have to check in every 30 minutes.
Well, that's good. All right, how are we doing on time?
Well, we should probably go ahead.
Could. All right, let's, why don't we do that and call, Doug Rose is going to be our guest today. And Doug does something very interesting that I think we're going to find interesting. He and his wife build ponds. I don't know what kind of ponds, but I guess we're about to find out, aren't we? So we'll give Doug a call and be back in just a minute with more of the Blind Handyman Show.
ACB Radio Mainstream,
The Cafe,
ACB Radio Treasure Trove. You can hear
live, unpredictable internet
on the ACB Radio Interactive.
ACB Radio Interactive, playing music from
the 1930s and 40s,
the 50s and 60s,
the 1970s,
80s and 90s,
the hits of the new millennium.
ACB Radio Interactive comes to you from at least 6 time zones on 3 continents, bringing you the very best of
country,
top 40,
classic and modern rock,
new age,
folk,
the rare stuff out of the 50s,
jazz,
easy listening adult contemporary,
and more. Live, unpredictable internet radio.
ACB Radio Interactive.
Don't risk the disappointment of missing a great ACB radio program. Join our announcements list today. Receive email about upcoming programs on all our channels and new features. To join, send a blank email now to announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
That's announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
Visit our website. Announcements about ACB radio delivered to you direct and free. Just another way to stay in touch with ACB radio. Hang out with other ACB radio listeners. Talk with the hosts. Provide suggestions about the future of ACB radio. It's all possible through the ACB radio friends list.
Thank you for being a friend.
Log on and sign up now. Send a blank message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. That's friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. And thank you for being a friend of ACB radio.
Are you looking for a place you can talk about ACB radio programming with friends and other listeners? Then you might want to join our ACB radio friends email list. You'll get all the announcement information you'd normally get from our ACB radio announce list. And you can take part in email discussions with staff and listeners. All you gotta do...
If you reach the bottom, follow through the line.
is send a blank email message to friends-subscribe@acbradio.org.
Tell me one more time.
Just a blank email message to friends-subscribe@acbradio.org. Keep in touch. ACB Radio, the station that is out of sight.
On ACB Radio Mainstream. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
Okay, we're back, and we have as our guest someone that I've been corresponding with some here lately by email, Doug Rose. How are you doing this afternoon, Doug?
Hey there, Don. Good to talk to you finally.
Well, yeah, good to talk to you since we've been writing some emails back and forth. And again, sure, I'll tell you in person now, sure appreciate you doing the show list for us.
Oh, happy to do it. I was just doing it for myself, so if it helps others out, that's great.
Oh, it's going to help a lot of folks along the way there.
Thank you. I guarantee.
If we can figure out a way to put it on the... to associate it with the links to the different shows, we haven't figured that out. I'm sure you know how to do that, though, don't you?
I gave it a shot and sent it off to Don Shaw there, so you guys can take a look at it.
Okay. I will be checking email again.
ACB Radio.
Later today here, and we'll see. Get it and see about sending a copy of it. So. All right. Mr. Boardman.
That was. Did you hear that? Well, that's good.
Mr. Tom.
That's
not
one.
Not good.
Anyway, we could get a hold of Jonathan and figure out exactly how to do all these things. He's a whiz. Have you met Jonathan Mosen?
I haven't, but I'm sure he can do it, and he'll give me any input if he needs it. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll get it worked out.
He's a computer whiz, does fancy stuff on computers. But, Doug, tell us a little bit about yourself. You were born where, sir?
Well, I grew up in Nebraska, and I now live in what we call Northern California.
Which is a decidedly better climate than...
Yeah, I hear that it's like a freezer back there right now, so I'm glad to be where I'm at.
And the temperature out there where you are is about what today?
Today, we're right around 50. It's overcast, 50 degrees.
Really?
We're right by the ocean where I'm at, so it's pretty even keel over here.
So that's better than the sub-zero temperatures you're having in Nebraska.
Oh, man. They can have it.
And you went to the Nebraska School for the Blind?
Yes, I did, uh-huh.
For 12 years?
Yeah.
Now, how did you find that? Did you enjoy your time there, or was it a good experience?
Yeah, I thought it was, but I could relate to some of you all's stories about the Texas school and all that. So.
Yeah. Well, I guess School for the Blind, by their very nature, by the fact that you're away from home and your siblings are home eating ice cream cones and having popcorn and visiting with your parents and you're off with the house mother, makes them, by definition, different and oftentimes no fun, you know?
Yeah, well, we managed to have some pretty good times, too, and it was a good education, so I don't regret it. I've talked to other people who have been mainstreamed. And
yeah.
So
We've done a lot of thinking and talking different times about mainstreaming versus going to a blind school. I don't know which is best. I think a combination of the two would probably be good for almost any child. You know, you want to know other blind people because you want to know of their experiences and learn from them. But you don't want to be in just a blind world, or I never have wanted.
That's true.
Yeah, like your show here, that's what it's about, getting tips from other blind people, but yet you got to live in the real world.
It's the folks get generally used, too. So.
I work in the education field, and I have mixed emotions about mainstreaming because I'm a fugitive from the Texas School for the Blind, but I graduated in public school the last three years. But then I have a little student that I work with at LISD here who has always been mainstreamed. And you know what? She doesn't know any blind people except me. I was the first as her teacher. And the thing of it is, Phil and I and Don Shaw have reflected on this recently. Really, in our lives now, at our age, our best friends are blind. You know, and yet, if you never
Tom, we're just kidding, Tom. We love you.
Well, thank you. Phil. Tom is our honorary blind guy.
but if we had never gone to
TSB or anything, we may not have met each other, and it's so.
So I don't know. There's pros and cons. We leave those topics for the what's the program
blind
called
line.
Blind line or whatever.
There you go.
Whatever he does. Now, when you we'll talk about what you're doing now in just a minute. What did you have a college degree, I suppose?
Yeah, I got one of those worthless psychology degrees actually. And
oh, really?
Then I started messing around with technology.
Yeah, technology, great.
That's what I really like, and that's what I've been doing.
Did you work as a psychologist, or did you work in the psychology field at one time?
It was just an undergrad degree, so you really had to go on to really work in the field.
Yeah. And so, you discovered technology in time to keep you from having to go on, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I rate that psychology degree right up there with my history degree. It's
yeah. About the same thing, wasn't it? Well, I love for psychologists to listen to us and tell us why we do this show. Anyway, you are your wife, your spouse is a sighted lady.
Yes, she is.
Drives that car.
Yeah.
That's good. We have two or three of those hanging around, too. That kind of have us on parole.
Yeah, she brings all the supplies home in the truck. And
that's good.
That helps. That
yeah.
And so you folks have started you invented for yourself a job. Tell us about it. What you do?
Well, I call it my wife's business, and I'm just kind of like the grunt work, but I enjoy it. We have a small business here called Rose Pond Aquatics, and she's into growing water lilies. As a matter of fact, we get a lot of our stock out of Texas, College Station down there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big names in water lily breeding is Strawn, and that's where he's been for years. He's now retired, I think, from his business. But
now he's in College Station, or he's affiliated with A&M University, which?
You know, I don't know all. You'd have to ask my wife, Patty.
Yeah.
She handles all that.
Yeah.
But needless to say, we're into what you might call water features, ponds, fountains, you name it, waterfalls.
Uh-huh.
And then she main business is growing the water plants, like water lilies. They're real popular.
Mm-hmm. So if y'all build someone a pond, build a pond for someone, then y'all would plant, like, or she would plant the plants in there, and then y'all would kind of maintain them or get them started and then let the customer.
Any part of that, Don, we could consult on just, how do you do it? And they could go ahead and do it. And she could get them started with the plants and also the chemistry of the water. But it's a lot of fun.
I've seen these ponds like on these home shows on television. Is it the one that have like the stone, the different decorative stones and things around the pond? That's it.
You usually want to decorate the side. Well, number one, to make it look good. Number two, sometimes you're hiding up mistakes or just the transition.
So this pond is actually dug down into the ground.
You can actually do them various ways, which is the fun part. And first thing I would say, if somebody's thinking about it, would be to look at their area. What's their area like? Do they have good drainage? What size? Do they want to try to dig down, or they could actually build up and decorate around it that way?
Uh-huh.
On a turnkey job, like if you're contracted, I want you to build me a pond. Like, where do you start outside of location? I mean, do you do plumbing? I mean, you have to find a water supply, or is it usually not hooked up to any kind of plumbing?
Well, that's another whole thing. There's a whole gamut of how sophisticated you want to go. You don't have to have water supply, electricity. You just have to be able, let's say, to get water there if you don't have a natural way to fill it, if you're using like a water source. But those are the kinds of things that you have to consider when you're making it. Like, how many trees do you have around there? You want pretty good light when you're putting in a pond.
Mm-hmm.
So there's factors like that.
But you have actually contracted the guy with the earth-moving equipment to come out and dig the pond for these people.
No, actually, my arms are sore because I've been doing most of the digging, and most of what we've done so far is for ourselves. We have three or four here at our house where we grow out the plants.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of it we've just learned from trial and error and a lot of reading on the web. And
okay,
so
but you do ponds for other people also?
Mainly, we haven't actually done too much pond construction,
mm-hmm.
just consulting on them setting one up. And then most of it has been selling through our local nursery, the water plant.
Okay, plant. So you do a good bit of pond beautification, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay,
do y'all
right.
deal anything with ponds that have fish in them as well?
I was going to ask, that was going to be my next question.
Me too.
Oh, fish are an important part, Don. That's a good question. Even if you aren't going to, say, raise fish for whatever reason, you need fish in there for part of the system, the natural system.
Keep it clean?
It helps with the overall system, especially most places get mosquitoes. So if you do nothing else, just get some what we call feeder goldfish.
Right.
And throw in there.
So just to kind of give me an idea of what, you know, a pond is a pond, sort of like, how big is your biggest one?
Our biggest pond right now, and my wife, that's our next project next year, is to expand it. It's not big enough. Is 1,200 gallons. It is L-shaped, and then it has another water feature to it. It has a waterfall that looks like a creek.
Yeah.
And
so that's why you need that noisy pump motor quieted down you was talking about for the the water through the system.
So
right.
And it is a closed circuit system like a swimming pool, the same?
Yes.
Same type of thing.
And are these ponds like the L-shaped one, was that one that y'all constructed, or is it like, was it prefab? You just dig a hole and like, I've seen them made out of fiberglass.
That's right.
I think, yeah.
That's the first thing a person should look at is the different ways they're made. And our big one, we made it ourselves. So like Don Patterson is saying, they have these preformed ones out of a plastic. Those are probably the easiest. If I was going to advise somebody, they just want to start and experiment, start with one of those. And they make a nice system.
But then don't they have some they sell like that are like swimming pool liners, sort of?
Yes.
A plastic type material or something you dig and put in the ground and then...
That's what our big one is. It's there's a couple kind. There's either a PVC that's about 20 mils thick, or the one I like to work with best is basically it fills just like an inner tube for a tire.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Except it's just cut and it's flat. It's a big old sheet. Uh-huh. Whatever size you want, you can get it.
That'd be pretty neat.
And that stuff is really easy to work with.
So are we basically talking about something then from a bathtub size, maybe type thing on up, basically, right?
Right. And it kind of depends why you want it.
Whether you're growing plants or fish or put goldfish or whatever.
Right. And how much work do you want to put into it? How much maintenance?
Yeah.
But you don't simply go dig a hole in the ground.
No, that's what. Many of us make the mistake. We say, oh, boy, it's pond's a hole, right?
Uh-huh.
Water in it.
Well, that's what I was going to. I've got 7 acres, and that's what I wanted to do, was dig a hole in the ground, put some benches around it. Ooh, look, we got a fish pond.
Yeah.
Well,
you think
we'll
not,
have
huh?
something, but you may regret it down the road.
Well, I figured it would be a good drainage. I figure we can, as much rain as we've had, we could...
Could have used the drainage, huh?
We could have used the drainage, I'll tell you. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So most of this you've done, but you do consulting. If somebody, are you in, I mean, is this a business that you actually make some money from? Do you get paid for this?
Well, on the plants, let's see, we sold $1,000 worth of plants last year.
Oh, $1,000 last year?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good start on it.
Well, we're just getting into it. And
okay, all right. So you buy these plants from the nursery here in College Station, and then you resell them.
Yeah, it takes about 2 years to get a water lily going.
Really?
Man. Whoa.
They go anywhere, depending on which kind you have, mm-hmm. once you sell them, from about $20 to $40, somewhere in there.
And so you plan someday to make some money doing that?
Well, yeah.
Because it's not yet. It's like having cows. Everybody in East Texas has cows. What do you have cows? Well, I need to write off, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. By the time they buy the feed,
it'd be
something.
Yeah. So, but you plan to make some money with this someday, right?
That would be nice. Yeah.
It would be nice. It
sounds interesting.
It does. It sounds like something my wife would love. See, she would.
Yeah.
She would get into this kind of thing.
Might be a good home project to do one of these spring afternoons.
And working with this big plastic sheet that does the pond, that is, you fold it up to make the sides, or you form it yourself, or how?
Yeah, that you first of all, you design what you want the shape of your pond to be like.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to have some kind of waterfall system with it. Then you consider things like you said, am I going to need electricity there if I'm going to have a pump?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, but if you're going to, also, how are you going to pull the water in and out of the pond itself? And we've tried different ways. That's why I like that rubber material. You can stick a pipe through it and then put a hose clamp on it, and that can be where you pull the water out.
Mm-hmm.
And then let it dump back in at another place.
Uh-huh.
In other words, you can, with this rubber stuff, you can just poke a hole in it, stick the pipe through there, and then clamp the hose clamp around the PVC pipe, and you got no leak.
Over the rubber, and you'd have
right.
no leaks.
That's a heck of a deal.
Yeah. I guess the biggest thing would just be the digging. Man, the digging would be tough.
But. Yeah, it depends on what size. And another thing, of course, is to make sure where the utilities are around there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm probably lucky to be here because I did hit the 440 line out here.
Oh, heavens.
Because we had a little misunderstanding between us and the landlord as to where the utility lines were.
And so you got into it.
I got into it, and man. I tell you, that conduit they put them in,
uh-huh.
that's almost worthless. It's so thin.
Yeah,
I've heard that.
So I caution people, that's one thing you want to communicate for sure.
Yeah. How long did it take you to realize that you had, how do you say, screwed up? How would that be?
Things got really easy.
Yeah.
And then it didn't sound right, you know?
Yeah.
And I looked down there, I said, what is this?
You leaned over and felt down in the hole you were digging and went, oh. Jesus, what have I done here?
And, also what I did was foolish. I felt the cable.
Oh.
And there was a nick in it.
Oh, my.
Ah.
Did a little bite, did you? Little.
No, luckily I didn't.
You didn't, but you figured out pretty quick where it was. See,
yeah.
you're supposed to have the guys come out and tell you where these things are before you.
Yeah, and we live in a mobile home park, and my wife had talked to the owner, and I don't know, for some reason they weren't on the same page about where the utility
or they just didn't like you.
Yeah.
That could be it.
What a deal, though.
Listen,
man.
This sounds like a neat thing to do. You need to, I'm going to have my wife call you, and you can tell her how to build herself a pond.
Yeah.
And you do other, you do some woodwork things, you do other mechanical, handyman type things.
Yeah, we've done a lot of different things, and with a pond, if you put in a pump and all the different components, you're going to be doing everything from woodworking to plumbing to wiring.
I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give you about a month, and then we're going to call you back and do you again because I don't think we're through.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot.
How would that be?
There's another show here. Huh?
And we'll talk about pump installation and wiring and some other handyman type things you've done. That be okay? That'll work, won't it?
That would work great, guys.
Good deal. Thank you, Doug Rose. Thanks for the list.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, and hopefully we'll get it associated with the links to our webpage so everybody quit complaining about not being able to tell what we're going to do on the show and that kind of stuff. We thank you very much, Doug, and we'll talk to you in a day or two.
Take care.
All right, sir.
Bye, Doug.
Bye, Doug.
Yep, Doug Rose.
Enjoyed it.
Our guest this time on the Blind Handy Man Show. We're going to talk about something in just a minute. Be right back. Hang on.
The disappointment of missing a great ACB radio program? Join our announcements list today. Receive email about upcoming programs on all our channels and new features. To join, send a blank email now to announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
That's announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
Or visit our website. Announcements about ACB radio delivered to you direct and free. Just another way to stay in touch with ACB radio. Hang out with other ACB radio listeners. Talk with the hosts. Provide suggestions about the future of ACB radio. It's all possible through the ACB radio friends list.
Thank you for being a friend.
Log on and sign up now. Send a blank message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. That's friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. And thank you for being a friend of ACB radio.
Are you looking for a place you can talk about ACB radio programming with friends and other listeners? Then you might want to join our ACB radio friends email list. You'll get all the announcement information you'd normally get from our ACB radio announce list. And you can take part in email discussions with staff and listeners. All you gotta do is send a blank email message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org.
Tell me one more time.
Just a blank email message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. Keep in touch. ACB Radio, the station that is out of sight.
Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. This is the Blind Handyman. We invite your correspondence at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. To be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, with more of the Blind Handyman, here's Tom Houston.
Hey, hey, hey. Thank you, Jan. We are back with more of the Blind Handyman Show, and thank you for the applause, Don Patterson.
Yeah, there was the multitude.
Now he's up on his mic.
Why did we come back to me is what I'm trying to figure out.
Because you're going to tell us about your new deck.
Oh, my new deck, yes.
Your new Thomas new decks.
Yeah. How did you get these decks,
Oh,
Thomas?
I've got a couple of brothers, and they're from Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia, as a matter of fact. And they came down, 3 days after Christmas? It was Saturday following Christmas, and built me a deck. Now, why did they build me a deck? Okay.
That's the question.
That is the question.
Well, because you needed it.
I needed it.
You did need one.
And I needed a wheelchair ramp in the front of the house there.
Mm-hmm. And these blind handymen that you associate with are too sorry to come and help you, right?
And I couldn't get the blind handyman crew together, folks.
Really? I'll tell you this. We could, all us put together, couldn't have built a deck that nice.
I'll tell you what, they did a heck of a
great deck.
They did a 10x14 in the front of the house with a ramp, a wheelchair ramp. And then they did a 10x14 in the back of the house that it has a roof on it and steps. And they both look real good. I don't know. Y'all ask me questions. I'll tell you anything you want to know about that deck now. But as far as just describing this deck, well, it's made of wood.
All right, is it treated lumber? Tell us about it. Is it heavy treated? I mean, the decking,
oh, yes.
Is it?
Oh, yes. They,
Did they deck it with 2x6s or what?
Well, it was 2x8s, I think, on the front, I noticed as I was leaving the house.
They used what's called five-quarter lumber.
Five-quarter lumber for the decking itself.
Yeah, for the decking, the planks. Okay.
2x4s to do the rails,
right.
And then they did the pickets with 2x2s. And then the top part of the rail, the deal that goes on top all the way around, that's the five-quarter lumber, just like the decking material.
Okay.
Which is plenty wide enough to set a plant on or to set your drink on or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Nice, wide top rail.
It is. It's really nice.
Did they build you any benches, built-in benches?
No. We put a little set on the back porch there, and then we had a couple of chairs we threw out on the front porch, and it looks real good. I'm proud of it. Put a roof on the back. That was probably, other than the wheelchair ramp, was probably the most complicated thing to do, being in a mobile home the way we were, because the deck is unattached, of course. But they did have to attach the roof on the back.
Because it would leak pretty good if you didn't.
Well, it would leak, yes, and they had to go up under the little gutter on the mobile home. It has a very small gutter on it, and they had to go right up under there and attach it to the mobile home to keep it from leaking. And it doesn't leak, as far as I know. I do have a couple of things I've got to do to it to stop water from getting on the back porch, and that's because the way this mobile home is built, the first gutter, there's a second gutter under it, and it extends out beyond the roof of the back porch.
I got your point. So, and so water comes back
to the doorway and falls on the back porch. So I'm going to have to stop that up and drill me a little hole in the bottom of it and let it leak somewhere else other than where it's leaking.
Other than the deck, over the deck.
Yeah.
I have some stuff at home that might be just the thing we need for that.
Some kind of putty just to stop it up.
Yeah, just caulking of some kind.
Something like Don Patterson talked about many shows back where you mix the little thing together, Don, by hand, remember?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have this stuff will work in water. How big
that stuff would be perfect.
I'm still not sure if I've got a grasp on what the leak, how you're getting the water back, you know?
How I'm getting the water back.
Okay, the secondary gutter runs under the roof.
Right.
Okay.
It's under the roof, and water comes back toward the porch.
Okay.
In this gutter.
Right, and it drains just by the door, the back door there.
Okay.
Okay, and it drains on the other end of the mobile home.
So we could fill this end up.
So I can fill this end next to the door.
Or just make like a dam, a little
place to fill
in. That's what
I'm saying. This stuff that I have.
Man, I tell you what I'd do.
I have a tube of it, I'll donate to you.
I'll tell you what I'd do. Yeah. I would find the first seam in it, and I'd take it off on the porch. And then stop that end up and take it off.
That would work, too, yeah.
I'd take it off the house. Yeah, I'd get rid of it.
But it may be manufactured in part into of the whole side.
It might look terrible if you pull it off. I don't know. I haven't thought about that, but I will look at
would
it.
Would be a good epoxy, question, wouldn't it?
This epoxy putty like stuff.
But that's a good idea.
Putty, though, would probably be the quickest way.
What,
in the drill
dam
hole.
It up?
Yeah, just make a little dam.
Yeah,
dam
right,
it, drill a hole.
Just in front of the dam, you could probably drill a couple of holes right up under there.
And probably
you
could.
Put just, your splash block down there, and it wouldn't do anything.
Just
it
would let just the water
drip.
Yeah, just let
drip
the water.
Out.
Yeah, that'd probably be the thing. We'll fix this. You know, somebody else has had this same problem.
Who's that?
And maybe I'm saying somebody has. Maybe
oh, you know
it.
They have.
We'll
you know
probably get an email from
problem.
Them next week.
That'd be nice.
Telling us.
Yeah,
I bet
something.
You.
That would be good.
But, probably man, that so. Is one nice deck, though. The ramps and everything on the nice, big, wide ramps going into this deck.
Just, yeah, so he can, you roll down part of the way, and then you make a turn.
Right, it goes down, I think, 14 feet. He's got it on like a 12-to-1 type thing. It wants to drop an inch every 12 inches, it needs to drop an inch. And it's built to scale the way they scale them in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia, and Chattanooga, Tennessee, up in that area.
In other words, the way the city says you have to do it there, the way the code is.
Right, the way the code is there, yeah. Yes. And it goes down to a 4x8 deck, another deck by itself.
And then makes a turn.
Then you turn and come back from the way you were going down to the ground. And, I mean, it just has it's a very slight slant. And it's easy to go up and down. I mean, it's just exactly what the doctor ordered, I guarantee.
Can you go down to the first deck and make the turn without ever stopping?
I can indeed.
Yes.
Well, is it true, Mr. Houston, that you used your mother-in-law as the first test rider? You put her in your wheelchair, gave it a gentle nudge.
After I removed the brakes, yes, I did.
Is that that?
And we're in dangerous territory now.
Cleta. All right, Cleta. Cleta May doesn't
only
listen.
Only kidding, Martha. Only kidding.
Cleta doesn't listen to the show, does she?
No.
We're really lucky. None of our wives or any of them listened and had their monitor bracelets on.
St. Emily.
Yeah, well, she thought she was going to tell me about this new radio station, didn't she?
Yeah.
And I already disappointed her that I already knew about it. I should have acted like I didn't, I guess. Anyway, what else could we talk about before we have to go here?
Before we get too far away from decks, why don't you tell us a little bit about squaring those deck corners?
Oh, that's an interesting one. I know how to do that.
Man, we hadn't gotten into this. We hadn't even presented this to our resident scholar.
This is something that
Don't mention the name. Let's see if he comes up with it, okay?
Okay. I bet he will.
I bet he will,
too. I don't think I can, but I bet he will. Anyway, you measure, like, if you're doing your foundation, I mean, you're getting it ready.
Yeah,
to put
if you're the building
deck
a deck or
you're
a
building
porch
a deck,
or whatever.
You're building you the frame for the deck.
For the deck. That's the word. Okay.
Are you with us? Uh-huh.
And we want to square the corners of that deck. Uh-huh. Okay. You can measure out 6 feet one way from one corner out 6 feet, make a mark.
Okay.
From that same corner, go out 8 feet and make a mark.
On the other wing.
On the other wing of the.
Yeah. Then take you a 10-foot board and connect the two marks. Put it on the two marks exactly 10 feet and temporarily put a nail in there and you've got square corners.
So it's catty-quartered, in other words, between the two pieces.
You've got
which would make a
board holding it. And what's that called?
Which would make an isosceles triangle, right?
Yeah, or a right angle.
But it does square the corners every time.
But you go up 6 feet on one side and 8 feet on the other?
6 feet one side, make a mark. 8 feet on the other, make a mark. And then put a 10-foot board there.
Board in.
Okay. And when you get it exactly on 10 feet on your marks, your corners are square.
So obviously it would work with 12, 16, and 20.
Uh-huh. And or 3, 4, 5.
Or 3, 4, 5. So it'll work with
multiples.
With multiple. Well, I don't know about the multiples, but I think that would... Let's see. The three kinds of triangles are what? Unilateral, equilateral, unilateral, and isosceles, right?
Isosceles.
Yeah.
But now, I saw this in action. I know it worked.
Wait a minute. What happened? What's your kind of mumbling over there?
And there is a name for it, Patterson. There is a name for it.
For what? The board?
No, for what this...
For the method to square the whole
thing.
Okay. Yeah. I can't believe he doesn't know this.
I don't know.
You will when you hear it. Phil, tell him what it is.
It's called the Pythagorean theorem.
Okay,
you knew that though, right?
Yeah,
because that angle board would be the hypotenuse of the
There you go.
But it sounds interesting.
We finally got somewhere
or
there, didn't
just
we?
Take your trusty framing square and put it in the
Yeah, but this is such a neat...
It is a neat theory.
Little method.
Yeah.
That's what Gordon said. If it gets below your 3, 4, 5, where you can't do it with a 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet thing,
use your square.
Yeah.
But any multiple, and there'd be a way to say that, 6, 8, and 10, and or 12, 16, and 20.
Oh, yeah, it should keep working and just going with it. So
It would. So
it's interesting. It's an interesting... theory.
And that's going to make your corner square if you put them right on the mark. You're going to have a square corner. And that's, we're in great danger, guys, of actually dispensing some usable information. We want to watch that, I suppose, don't we? All right, the Pythagorean is, I hope that's the way you pronounce it. Maybe somebody will correct us. It is.
That's it.
Is that Pythagorean?
Pythagorean.
Is that the way you say it?
I'm not sure if it's Pythagorean or Pythagorean. The theorem of, the theorem. That's the closest.
Somebody will.
A squared plus B squared equals
another
C squared.
Thing,
plus
another
C squared.
Thing that I learned from this experience is how to cut steps out. And the Gordon standard step has a 7-inch riser in like what do you call the other one? The runner is 10 inches. Yeah, a 10-inch runner and a 7-inch riser. Right. And he demonstrated to me how to figure your steps and how to cut them out. So if anybody ever needs any steps cut out. Going up to a deck or just the back door of a mobile home. I mean,
I'd like to see how you attach them to the sides.
Yeah, we didn't look at that.
Boy, they're in there. He screwed them in there. I mean, he did.
He could screw them in there. He didn't have enough sauce to do this. I started to say, did he dado the cut and stick the board in the other board?
I'm not sure.
No, probably not.
I'm not sure.
That would have taken. He'd had to have a table saw to do it. And he didn't have a table saw.
Well, no, he didn't have a table saw, but he had a miter saw set up similar to a table saw. He had this little portable job where you could put a big board on it and roll it. But it wasn't like a table saw, no.
But that's the kind of saw that Patterson and me looked at. That's the neat kind of miter box saw that you roll the. You could cut a 2x12 with it and roll it into the. To the saw blade there.
And they've got a name for that, and I can't think of it.
It's a radial arm saw.
No.
It's not a radial arm saw?
No, it's a compound miter saw, but you can cut wider. It has a table, a little platform. It's like a radial saw.
It is like a radial alarm saw.
But you move the board instead of moving the saw. The radial arm saw, you move the saw.
Well, no, this one you can move the saw, too, though.
You can move both.
You can pull this up, but not near the... It doesn't have the travel distance of a radial arm saw.
But you still cut a much wider board than you could cut with just a regular...
With just a chop saw or a compound miter saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're quite expensive. Sears. Their least one was $400, $500.
Yeah, they're pretty high. Yes. But they're neat, man. I
don't have room.
You were doing.
I got all
well, that's, yeah. That's
anyway, we need to look at those steps because steps kind of fascinating because you got to cut the angle just right to meet the house and then to go down on the ground and then you got to figure out a way to put those steps on the sideboard so that they won't, you don't want them to come off.
Oh, yeah.
kind of on step three there.
That wouldn't be swift, would it?
I saw how you built the stairs here. Steps have always kind of fascinated me. We'll look at that and maybe talk about it next week. We need some email, folks, and we need it bad. God bless you. Maybe if I did my Jimmy Swaggart imitation, you'd send us some email to our address here at the Blind Handyman at hotmail.com. God love you. They're going to take us off the air if we don't get some email in here now. God love you, hearts, if you don't send your love offerings in and help us out with the broadcast, if you don't mind.
That's right.
I could have made a fortune. Doing that, couldn't I? That's my imitation of Jimmy Swaggart.
There's still a chance if this show folds, we can get a tent.
The tent revival, huh?
God bless you, friends. Email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com.
Uh-huh.
And it'll be a blessing to your hearts out there. And anyway, we would love to have you, and we'll be on it, we hope, next week.
We hope next week.
We hope. We may not.
Thank you, guys, and we'll tell you more about the list. Don Shaw, Don Patterson, Tom Houston. Bless your hearts. Thank you. And come back and see us. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.
The Blind Handyman is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.